In today's gospel, Christ requires us to help as best we can anyone who is in need. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Kathleen and Howard did the best they could to make ends meet. They had 3 children, both worked in manufacturing jobs in the area. Their salary wasn't bad, but things were sometimes pretty tight. One day, their youngest daughter came home from school. She was a senior in high school, a girl named Samantha. Samantha told Kathleen and Howard about the plight of one of her best friends, this other girl, a senior as well, named Tanya, had been thrown out of the house by her mother the night before. It seems as if her mother's latest boyfriend didn't like Tanya and gave the mother the choice, him or Tanya. She threw Tanya out. Tanya had no place to go, only the clothes on her back, no money. And almost without thinking twice, Howard and Kathleen told Samantha, "Tell her to come here. She can come live with us." They would take care of her. They would give her whatever love they could. Things would be very hard, but they would make it work. They would make it work. I think that's a wonderful example of mercy. And I share it with you this morning because the gospel today really is all about mercy. Now, we've heard this story of the Good Samaritan many times before, but the key to the whole parable is the last couple of verses. Jesus says to the scholar of the law, "Who, in your opinion, was neighbor to the man who fell in with the robbers?" The scholar of the law says, "The one who showed mercy upon him." And Jesus says, "You," meaning you and me too, "go and do likewise." the one who showed mercy on him. You go and do likewise. So it's pretty clear that Christ expects his followers to be bearers of mercy in the world. And today, the gospel shows us what mercy consists in, really. Now, sometimes when we use the word mercy, we say he or she was a very merciful person. We use it to mean somebody who's forgiving. And certainly, mercy does mean that, but mercy is a much broader concept than that. Notice in the gospel today, the Samaritan doesn't forgive the man lying on the side of the road. His mercy does not consist in forgiveness. What's it consist in? Helping him. Finding somebody in turmoil, in difficulty, and trying to help as best you can. Seeing with compassion somebody who's in a difficult situation and trying to help them get out of that situation. That's the broader, deeper meaning of mercy. That's what Christ says you and I have to be for one another. But the parable also tells us today something about that kind of mercy. It says that that kind of mercy may be difficult for the one giving it, may require sacrifice of the one giving it. Do you ever ask yourself the question, why the priest and the Levite, who were religious people, didn't stop to help the man on the side of the road? Well, scripture scholars tell us that the main reason probably was this. They were afraid it was a trap. That road from Jerusalem to Jericho in those days was known as the Red Road because it was a place where so many muggings took place. If you traveled by yourself on that road, there's a good chance you might get mugged. And the way the robbers would sometimes do it is to fake somebody being on the side of the road, lying there needing help. And when somebody stopped, they'd jump out and attack them. The priest and the Levite probably didn't want to take the risk that this was a trap. The Samaritan, understanding the same thing, takes the risk. Maybe it's a trap, but maybe it's real. He takes the risk and stops. Mercy sometimes means taking a risk. Then have you ever asked the question again, where did the Samaritan get the wine and the oil to pour in the man's wounds? You think he was carrying a first century medical kit in his saddlebag? Probably not. Again, scholars tell us this probably was his own food. Food for the journey. Wine to drink. Oil to put on bread, which was a staple of their diet. He used his own food to try to bind up the wounds. And where did the bandages come from? Again, did he have band-aids in his saddlebags? Probably not. Most likely he tore up his own clothes, tore up something from his tunic to bind up the wounds. See, it cost him. Mercy is sometimes costly for the one giving it. And because of that, it makes us ask the question, why should I do that sort of thing? Why should I take the risk? Why should I sacrifice? Why? And the parable gives us that answer too. Because God has first been merciful to us. God has first stopped for us on the way. See, the fathers of the church had a beautiful way of understanding this parable. They would say to the people they were preaching to, who do you identify with in the parable? Which of the characters do you identify with? Then they would answer and say, you should see yourself as the person beaten up on the side of the road. You're the one lying there, beaten down by life, beaten down by failure, beaten down by your own sin, and beaten down most of all by your own mortality. You're the one lying there. But who stops for you then? Christ. Christ comes and stops for you to bind up your wounds and to ultimately give you the hope of immortality. And it costs him to do that. It costs him to stop. It costs him the cross. But he's merciful. He stops for you. So you must stop in the same way for one another. That's why you need to take the risk. That's why you need to make the sacrifice. Because God has first done that for you in Christ. So this morning, each of us here might ask the question, do we know somebody who needs our mercy? You know, somebody we need to stop for, help them to try to get out of the circumstances they're in, even when it costs us something? Do we know someone like that? Remember, Jesus has said to us, go and do likewise. Let me conclude with this little story. It might summarize what I'm trying to say. One day a man's out taking a walk and he falls into a pit. He's down in this pretty deep pit. He can't get out. So he's crying out, you know, asking people for help. And along walks by a mathematician. Mathematician looks down into the pit, calculates exactly what it would take for the man to get out, tells him, walks away. Next, there comes by an IRS agent. He looks down into the pit, says to the man there, are you paying rent on taxes on this pit? Are you paying taxes on this pit? And he walks away. Along comes a very self-pitying woman. She looks down into the pit and she says, you think your pit is bad, you should see mine. She walks away. Along comes an optimist. He looks down and says, well, you know, it really could be worse. He leaves. Along comes a pessimist. Looks down and said, you think you got it bad now? It's going to get worse. Finally, along comes Jesus, who climbs down into the pit, lets the man stand on his shoulders to get out. You see, that's you and me. We stand on the shoulders of Christ to get out. To get out. Christ stops for us, and we must stop for one another. May God bless you.